Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome, everyone. We're going to be talking today about how to be a good listener. Well, it's the middle of March, and we're so happy you can all be with us today for our psychology article. We're going to be talking about listening and skills that we need in listening. When you think about yourself, are you a good listener? Well, my name is Linda, and I'm from Studio Classroom Magazine, and today I have with me in the studio
Amanda
and Brian.
And we want to welcome both of you. We're so happy that we can all be here to discuss. Actually, this is a very important topic. Can we listen without getting in the way? What does that mean exactly? How do you get in the way when you're listening?
Well, you try to come up with a solution, and so maybe you're thinking while they're talking. You're not really listening, and you maybe even interrupt them.
Okay, what about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I would say getting in the way would be that you aren't really listening, like Brian said, and maybe that stops you from actually listening to what the person has to say.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, many times.
Have you gotten in the way, or have you had somebody get in the way?
Both.
How about you, Brian?
Both as well.
I know, sometimes we just want to we want to fix it, right?
Yes.
So we're going to be reading about that today and talking about that. But first, before we get started, let's go to our listening. And if you have your magazines with you, turn to page 26 in your advanced magazine. And we will be reading the first column.
How to be a good listener. Can you listen without getting in the way? Do you know whether or not you are a good listener? If so, then listen up. According to experts, there can be huge value in just letting someone vent without offering advice on how to fix the problem. I call this no-solution listening, said Michael Rooney, author of Attractive Communication. Sometimes people simply want to release hurtful emotions and get something off their chest. And for them, communication is not necessarily about having their husband or wife or coworker come up with a solution. They just want to be heard and want to be understood because they're hurting inside.
So, Brian, do you consider yourself a good listener?
I would say I consider myself a moderately good listener, although when I read an article like this, I'm reminded that I'm not a great listener.
How about you, Amanda?
I would agree. I think it's something that I've become. Like at the beginning, I was not a very good listener, and I've had to learn the hard way through experience of maybe trying to fix the problem. But I hope that I've gotten better over time.
Okay. And you know that research has shown that the thing that people want most is to be listened to. Most people do not feel like they are listened to. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of services that are available really that teach people really just how to listen mm-hmm. when somebody needs someone to talk to. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I don't think that it's so difficult. Maybe some of us just have to change our habits a little bit and our way of thinking. So here, there's a very interesting phrase on the second line of our article. It says, do you know whether or not you're a good listener? If so, then listen up. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a slang phrase that we use, like, listen to what I'm saying.
That's right. Listen very carefully.
Mm-hmm. And we have the experts here. There is a huge value in just letting someone vent. Okay. And we have this word vent. It has a lot of different meanings. But here, what does it mean?
It means to let out. So if you're holding something inside, it means to let it outside.
Okay. Have you ever vented, Brian?
I have vented a few times. I'm sure I'll need to vent again in the future. But like you said, Linda, it's sometimes when we want to be listened to, it's hard because people are busy and they have schedules. So it's hard even to get people close to you and your family sometimes to listen.
Right. And venting really has to do with negative emotions. You just want to get that negative feeling out. And sometimes venting can take from, you know, a sentence to several minutes. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you express your whole negative feeling about something.
And oftentimes it comes about because people have things built up. So it may have happened over time. Mm-hmm. And then there's finally, look, I need to get this out, you know.
Right. And then the person, you might be like shocked if you're the listener, but the other person certainly feels better.
Mm.
And at this point, probably they're not looking for a solution to something. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we go on, we're talking about the author here of Attractive Communication, and he calls this no solution listening. What kind of listening do you think is hard? I think no solution listening is hard.
Yes.
It's very hard because I think most of the time I catch myself planning my response or planning to this great solution for the person that maybe they don't really need.
Yeah, I think many people come to us, like you said, wanting no solution listening. But as they're talking, maybe an idea comes to you as they're speaking how to solve the problem. And then you think, okay, I'm going to share it, but it may not be the right time or place for that.
Right. And he goes on to say that Michael Rooney, who is the author of this book, goes on to say that, you know, venting means getting rid of hurtful emotions or hurtful feelings or something, as you said, Amanda, just, you know, building up that you just have to let out. And sometimes it's to get something off their chest. This is a great idiom. Anybody want to talk about this?
Sure. Getting something off your chest. You can think of almost a weight or a burden on your chest. You want to get rid of it because it's painful and comfortable. So you express something that's been on your mind that's been worrying you or really bothering you, and you just let it out, similar to the idea of venting.
Mm.
Right. So this is basically two ways to say the same thing, to express like feelings that, you know, have been building up inside or, you know, that have been worrying you or bothering you, and you just want to say it.
Right. It takes two pictures. The venting would be something pushed down and coming out, and getting something off your chest, like you mentioned, Brian, is a weight or a burden that you're carrying and you want to take it off.
And I think all of us probably have had that kind of feeling before in our lives, you know, and when you vented or wanted to get something off your chest, do you want a solution?
No. You just want to get it off.
Okay.
That's right. And I think, too, we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow about this, but it also builds up the relationship and the trust with the other person and brings you closer together.
Mm. Okay. But, you know, really, it says for us, when we're doing this, we don't want a husband or a wife or a coworker or a friend to come up with a solution. And we, as a listener, often want to do that. We want to have the solution, especially if we're goal-oriented people, you know, because, right, it's always like, oh, you should do that, and oh, you should do that. In fact, actually, I just did that last night to somebody. I was like, oh, no.
That's a great point, Linda. And my wife is a solution person, focused person. And so often I'm starting to vent, and as I'm venting, the solution is thrown in my face, and then I feel like just not venting, stopping where I am and going to retreat into my cave.
Mm. And I think it has to do with if you in your profession often need to come up with solutions, then you tend to bring that into your relationships as well.
Right. And it says here that the person just wants to be heard and to be understood. Mm. Okay. I think that is one of our key words here because, you know, there's something happening and they're hurting inside. But oftentimes if we, you know, jump ahead and give them the solution before even you can say fully what you want to say, mm-hmm. then it's like, are you even hearing me?
Right.
No, or are you – one of the things that I learned when I was involved in a kind of a caretaker role in the past and listening was a big part of that was to repeat back what the person is saying because this is a time when somebody is venting that a lot of misunderstandings can occur. And sometimes when a person says something and you say, oh, is this what you're saying or is this how you feel? And then you reword it and ask them that or put it back to them, they'll hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And it might not really be what they meant.
Right.
So this is a point in time when somebody is venting and you may be hearing one thing and they think they're saying something else. You want to be very careful before you jump to a conclusion or before you offer a solution, because they might be saying one thing and you might be saying another, and there's going to be another big problem here because you're not hearing it. So just rephrasing it, saying it back to the person and showing empathy. Okay, empathy means showing feeling and that you can, relate to that person is often what the person is looking for.
I think that, like you said, if you say it back to them, then they will also clear out any misunderstanding, mm-hmm. because it says here they want to be understood, and that way you're using communication to do that.
Right, it will clear up any of those kind of miscommunication areas that could very, very easily happen.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, Brian, maybe that would you would like that a little bit more than having the solution given to you halfway through your
Definitely.
Your venting.
I would love to be understood at various times, yes.
I think we all feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who are listening, maybe that's one of the things that we can learn from this is that, we need to bite our tongue. That's a good idiom in English. Does it mean that literally, bite your tongue?
No, that would hurt a lot. It means just not to speak where maybe you feel like you want to say something, but the situation calls for you to just say nothing.
Right. So you bite your tongue so your tongue can't move. Okay. But not literally. Okay. So now I want you to go to the second column in your magazine on page 26. Don't fix it. And let's listen to this reading, and we'll read to part of page 27 for the rest of the day.
Don't fix it. Although not coming up with a solution might be the best solution, listening without fixing can be very difficult for some people, said clinical psychologist Christine Costello. When you have an emotional attachment to the outcome, it's very hard to do this, Costello said. When someone is working really hard to just understand what the other person is saying before they jump in and add anything, this can be difficult. I have adult children, and I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut because they're adults. I have more experience than they do, and I do have something to offer, but I'm restraining myself because that may not be what they want. Costello said people who are self-absorbed or narcissistic also will have trouble listening without offering advice. They tend to assume that they know everything or that it's all about them. The narcissists are viewing the communication world through their own lenses, Rooney agreed. They think, if I were them, what would I want? I would want someone to itemize things and give me a solution.
So the title of this section is called Don't Fix It, which, again, if we are goal-oriented or sometimes even if we're not, we really want to fix it. Do you guys want to fix anything?
Oh, I love to fix things, and it's a strong habit, and I think that's why the author here is going to really hit home on this point.
I tend to be a person that likes to fix things too, but I've had people in the past say, hey, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So they taught me.
Right. And sometimes we need to be taught that over and over again.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a couple of situations in this section where we have to bite our tongues here. So although coming up with a solution might be the best solution, listening without fixing can be very difficult for some people, right, Brian?
Oh, extremely difficult, especially for people, like you said, Linda, people who are natural problem solvers.
And this is by clinical psychologist Christina Costello, and you wanted to – what did you have to say about her, Brian?
Well, I wanted to point out to the listeners of clinical psychologist what his or her role is, that a clinical psychologist is a trained professional in the psychology field. They're a little bit different than a psychiatrist because a clinical psychologist cannot necessarily prescribe medication. So they use various therapies, different kinds of listening to help people solve their problems.
Mm. Right.
They would be expert listeners.
Right, very well trained in listening.
Right.
And also helping people to be able to express fully what they want to say and really what is what they've been pushing down sometimes for years, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So good point, Brian. A psychologist cannot prescribe medication, only a psychiatrist can, because a psychiatrist is a trained MD or medical doctor.
Hmm.
Okay. So she says that when you have an emotional attachment to the outcome, it's very hard not to come up with a solution.
Yes, that's right. Emotional attachment. That's a quite a concept there. It means, you know, it matters to you so much. You're so emotionally involved with the outcome. It's going to affect you as well as the other person. So you already have a vested interest in it, or you're so concerned that you want to control it maybe. You're tempted to control the outcome.
And I think that's where the fixing solution comes in, because if you, for instance, you have a relationship with that person, whether it be through a work situation, maybe the goal comes in mind as you're speaking with the person. So you think, if we want to achieve this goal, then this is how we can fix the problem without actually listening to what the person wants to say.
Right. And if we're like that at work, we often take that home with us as well.
Right.
You know, so we use that same kind of attitude or, you know, way of dealing with things wherever we are. So sometimes maybe if we're in that kind of a role at work, we have to really leave it behind when we go home.
And maybe in a stronger way, too, at home, because we have stronger relationships with those people at home, you
mm-hmm.
know, family.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. So she goes on to say that when someone is working really hard to just understand what the other person is saying before they jump in and add anything, this can be difficult.
That's right. And jump in here, does it mean she literally jumps up in the air and pops in, but she kind of cuts in and interrupts the other person?
Well, we know that's happened to you, Brian. Has that ever happened to you, Amanda?
Yes. It has happened in the past. I tend to let that person say what they want to say and then continue to say what I was trying to say. So, but that is something that I've learned as well.
Mm. I'm usually the person jumping in.
You mean well.
I mean well. Maybe it's – I like to think it's because I'm goal-oriented, but it's probably because I'm controlling.
I think we all have a little bit of that in us.
Well, I really related to this next section. Do you want to talk about this next section, Amanda?
Okay. It says, I have adult children and I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut because they're adults. I have more experience than they do and I do have something to offer. So this is talking about Christine Costello. She's a parent. So when she's speaking to her adult children, and she is this clinical psychologist, she has had all this training in listening, yet this is one area where she struggles to not fix it.
That's a good point. She's trained, but it's still hard for her because they are her own kids.
Mm. Yes.
Can you relate to that, Linda?
I have. My children are – oh, one is 30 now and one is in her mid-20s or late 20s. And I have learned to just listen, you know. And because, you know, really as a parent, children want to be able to talk to their parents and they don't want to feel judged. And a parent doesn't always agree. And sometimes you can give some advice, but you have to know when to give it and when not to give it. And maybe it helps that they live far away. But we do talk quite frequently on the phone, and I think that they, you know, feel free to talk to me about issues that they have in their lives or problems that they're having. But I've learned not to just jump in and try to solve them because, you know, a lot of times you have to learn it by going through it or by doing it yourselves. Mm-hmm. And they just want you to know – they want you to know what they're going through and to try to understand. But it doesn't mean that they want you to come up with some kind of solution,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we can't control their lives anymore.
Right. And I think for me as the child and having that relationship with my parents, I've come to really enjoy that in my relationship with my parents, that they would just listen to me so that when I really do need their advice, very quickly I will say, what do you think? So it has the added effect of if you do listen well, then in time they will ask you for solutions to certain situations.
Mm-hmm. I have learned that. They do when they want my advice.
That's good. They take the initiative. Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
I like the part here where it talks about the experience because although I'm not a parent, I can relate to what you're saying, Linda, that it's tempting whether in work or home or school, when you have more experience, maybe you're 5, 10 years older than a person, you feel like, well, I can help them avoid certain things. I can pass on my experience, but they really need to learn for themselves. So maybe I need to stop myself and respect their own need to experience things.
Mm. Right. She goes on to say, but I'm restraining myself because that might not be what they want. And here, restraining means what?
Holding back. Just making sure that you hold yourself back from actually saying something or doing something.
And we can also do this with friends, too. I mean, this is very common as a parent. You know, we want everything to be perfect for our children. We don't want them to go through hard things in their lives. But, you know, if we look back on our own lives, that's how we learn.
That's
and
true.
And that's what we grow from as well. So, I mean, as a parent, it's very difficult to see a child go through something, you know, whatever, in their work experience or having a hard time or in their relationships, but and all with money, you know, all kinds of – there's lots of advice I can give them. However, sometimes you can give a little bit, but you have to moderate it, you know. Maybe you want to say a sentence here and there, but, you know, sometimes we just want to say, give me your bank account and let me fix it for you.
Right.
Tempting.
Yeah.
Tempting, yes, very tempting. And then Costello said that people who are self-absorbed are narcissistic. These are some interesting words we have here.
Very interesting,
very interesting
word. It's in our vocabulary focus. It says having too much admiration for yourself. So really it means you like yourself the most.
Okay.
That's right. And along with that, the idea of self-absorbed, similar, that you're so focused on yourself that you're not really paying attention to the people around you. And you see everything in their life through your own needs, through your own eyes.
Mm. I think that, you know, as in child development, there is a period of life where everybody goes through this, you know, like very small children. You know, their world is about them.
Right.
But then as we grow up, hopefully our world is not always all about us. We are not the center of the universe. Mm. And that's really what this is talking about. Narcissism actually is a condition in psychology, and a person can be classified as a narcissist. Maybe all of us have a little bit of this in ourselves, but it's really talking about total self-absorption. So you're right, Brian. When we give advice, it's advice for maybe our good, not maybe for the other person's good.
Right.
That's right. It's easy to do that, see things from your own perspective and not really listen.
Right. And it says that they will have trouble listening without offering advice. Now, just because people offer advice does not mean that they are a narcissist, right? We're not saying that.
Oh, no.
But it says that kind of person tends to assume that they know everything or that it's all about them.
Mm. Again, because they're viewing things through their own eyes, they tend to or are inclined to think that they know what the answer is from their perspective and that it has somehow to do with them. So, yeah, it's all about their view.
Right. And so we were talking before the program about this word assume. It's a great word here to be used here, right, Amanda?
Right. It means that you think you know what the answer is, but you can't be sure. You have no way to prove it.
Okay. So they assume that they know everything, right?
Yes.
That's right. And people are just so different, more different than we can imagine usually, that people's needs and experiences. So it's good to respect those and try not to assume that we know.
You know, I think sometimes maybe we feel sorry for ourselves, you know, if we're so self-absorbed and our life is all about us. But it's really about stepping out of ourselves and being of service to other people and trying to help them. It's not about us.
And actually listening is one of those places where you can do that the most, to hear what other people are going through. And that's perhaps why it's very hard for somebody that just thinks about themselves to do that.
Mm-hmm. And she talks more about it on the top of page 27. She said that they're viewing the communication world through their own lenses. I think we all do that, but this is to the extreme maybe.
That's right. And I really like this phrase, through their own lenses. almost as if you have special glasses on with your perspective and you see everything through that. It brings to mind another idiom, to see with rose-colored glasses. That's when you see everything as positive when it's not necessarily positive. So here the narcissist or self-absorbed person is seeing everything through the glasses of their own perspective.
And I think it's interesting that Rooney goes on to say, well, the author agreed with what Christine Costello says. And she says, they think, if I were them, what would I want? So it's all about I. You see how many I's are in that sentence.
Right. And there's one that begins the next sentence, too. I. And what would this person want?
They would want someone to itemize things and give me or give them a solution. And itemize here being a focus word, meaning to list things out, to list particular things separately. So give you the whole list, bullet points, do this, do that, and then do that, and your problem will be solved.
This is what I would do. This is what I would do.
So it brings it all back to me or back to I. That's very bad grammar. Mm. So it all, again, it all centers back to that person's own perspective. But really, as a good listener, you know, we can train ourselves. We can learn how to step out of our own lives and into that person's life from that, from their point of view or from that person's point of view that you're listening to.
Right. We in English we can say put yourself in their shoes, right? Which means you're seeing it from their perspective rather than your own.
Good. So let's go back again and take a quick look through this article and just for review. So are you a good listener? What is the one point that you would like to leave people with today?
I would like to leave listeners with the idea that don't, if you know you are attached to the outcome, make an extra effort to step back and listen and don't interrupt.
So do you ever say to anybody, actually my husband said this to me, just listen for a minute. And it does make me think, oh, yeah, okay.
It's a good reminder.
How about you, Amanda?
I think just to make sure, you know, when you are hearing a problem or somebody wants you to listen to them, how are you listening? Are you listening through your own lenses or your own perspective, or are you trying to listen from their perspective? Just remember that or keep that in mind as you're listening to someone.
Right. And I think the thing, again, that spoke to me is the emotional attachment that we have. We need to look very carefully at our response to something or to the person talking, especially if we have an emotional response. Or we think, oh, I know exactly what you should do. Be
right.
Careful, because they might not want to hear what you think. They just are coming to you, you know, because they want to vent or want to get something off their chest.
Right.
Well, thank you for being with us. Be sure to join us tomorrow for our second day. And the author here is actually going to give some advice on what to do. So we hope to see you again tomorrow with us here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.